Ms. Carlson for the update. Good afternoon, colleagues. I suggest that we start. Hope you're having a good day. Thank you very much to the parliamentary support staff. You are always there and available for us, which we totally appreciate. I'm told that politicians, difficult people, they give trouble, but I know that this bunch in transport doesn't give any trouble. I don't need any confirmation. So we do note the apology of Honorable Nolu Chungu, and should Honorable Shabangu join us, we will welcome him at that particular time. So colleagues, this is our second meeting, and I think the first real biting of what our business is about. And in welcoming you and welcoming Advocate Makato and all those who are joining us, we all know the purpose of the subcommittee. And today our business is to listen to the department on progress that has been made as it relates to the Public Protector's report, as it relates to the conversion of vehicles. Colleagues, we have also received a lot of information from the support team, as we had requested. And I hope that we have been going through it such that we are able to engage fully. But today, we would like to hear from the department an update. That update will also assist us to reflect, or rather to refresh our memories as to how far the department has gone. If we recall well, we agreed that today the department will update us, which then forms our agenda on work with illegally converted vehicles and the remaining identified operators, progress. They will update us on matters referred to SIU in regard to these illegal conversions, if any progress has been made. Update on progress made by Monitoring and Evaluation Committee to address the issue to DG in Public Protector Report. Update on design of current licensing system and other systems. So let us allow the department or invite the department at this point in time. Advocate Makato, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Chairperson. Good afternoon to honorable members.
I hope you are aware.
Indeed. Yes, I am, my chairperson. A bit tired from the driving, but it's okay.
Are you the only one?
No, others will be coming in. No, I'm not. They will be coming in, chairperson.
But you are leading us in this matter.
We just did not want to waste. Okay. Indeed, I am chairperson.
All right. The floor is yours.
Right. I'm not too sure.
The brief. Go ahead.
Yes, I was. There's a presentation, if I may ask the secretariat to put it up, that we prepared so that we go through it. And for ease of reference.
Can I just say, members, I have not received a presentation in advance, but I'm giving Mr. Makato a co-host privileges so that he can slide the presentation for members now.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Are you able to do that, Advocate?
Let me try to share, Chairperson. Can Can we all see that, the presentation?
It's still loading. Yes, we can see the presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson.
And you may go ahead. We will ask questions at the end. Members, it will be the same routine.
The public sector report. We also look at the update on the system redesign of the NLTIS, and we made recommendations in that regard. The purpose of this presentation, Chairperson, is to indeed provide an update on the scrapping of illegally converted Toyota Tundra panel vans in compliance with the Public Protector's Remedial Action. And as members of this subcommittee might be aware, in 2009, when the department became aware of the unsafe practices of illegally converting panel vans into passenger vehicles, we were approached. The taxi industry approached the then Minister of Transport. That the panel vent must be through the there was the data extrapolated by RTMC and the tax recapitalization South Africa, the service provider appointed for scraping, and then 1,916 panel vents were identified that could possibly qualify for scrapping. Only 1,226 of these vehicles had operating licenses and were eligible for scrapping since the operating license, you might recall, honorable members, is a prerequisite to qualify. Okay. I hear noise in the background, Chairperson. Should I continue?
Yes, continue. I'm not sure where the noise is coming from.
Only.
But keep on going. We'll try and sort it out.
Okay, thanks, Chairperson. Of the 1,226, only 503 submitted applications for scraping since April 2019, implying chairperson that are still outstanding. And the slide up there, chairperson, is a breakdown per province, which I'm not going to waste the subcommittee's time, but that this presentation will be shared with the secretariat and it can be readily made available. Commission that if there is a question relating to any of the slides because they've been numbered, we can go back to them.
That's fine. You can continue. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
I just thought this slide
has
got very critical information. Go ahead.
And what appears there is a draft proclamation that we've prepared, which the minister would sign off in this regard. It provides as follows, that in, as the Minister of Transport, acting in terms of Section 54G of the NLTA, he hereby issues a directive set out in the schedule hereto on measures relating to public transport on the safety of passengers. Now, the schedule reads as follows. Whereas the Department of Transport introduced a taxi recapitalization program as a consequence of unsafe taxis that resulted in injury and loss of life. Whereas in 2005, Toyota panel vans were converted into minibus taxis illegally. These vehicles did not comply with the requisite safety standards for passenger carrying vehicles. The Public Protector of South Africa found in the report titled, quote, illegal conversions of Toyota panel vans into minibus taxis, close quote, issued on the 27th of March 2019, that the department is to ensure that there is no Toyota panel van that has been converted into a minibus taxi to carry passengers on the South African roads. Whereas the taxi recap recapitalization program has already commenced with the process to scrap illegally converted panel vans as per the remedial action of the Public Protector, whereas 2,253 illegal converted panel vans were identified by the department as being illegally converted. And of the converted panel vans, 436 were retrofitted. Whereas 1,917 will have to be scrapped. The owner of the illegally converted Toyota panel van must have an operating license or permit linked to the vehicle and must be in the owner's name in order to qualify for the scrapping allowance. The process of scrapping Toyota panel van is not finalized. The minister hereby acting in terms of Section 54G Roman Figure 2 of the NLTA in order to ensure safety of passengers directs that A, all the owners of illegally converted panel vans must surrender their vehicles to the taxi recap within 4 months from the date of publication of this notice, and B, no illegally converted panel vans will be allowed to transport passengers for reward after 4 months period contemplated in paragraph A has lapsed, and law enforcement shall impound all the illegally converted panel vans. I move on to the next slide, to Kirsty. Now, this is an update on other issues that are emanating from the PP's report. Suffice it to state that, Chairperson, that no report was received from the SIU with regard to compliance matters.
Advocate Makata.
Chairperson.
Can you try and be stable on your mic? You tend to lose you intermittently.
Oh, sorry.
Just try and be stable as much as possible, please. Thank you.
Oh, sorry about that. I'm my apologies, Chairperson. Okay. On the issue of SIU matters that have been referred to them on illegal panel vans, we would want to report that no report has been received from SIU with regard to compliance matters related to the proclamation that there's an update that we're going towards the end of the presentation. We make a proposal, Chairperson, and we'll come back to this point. Insofar as update on progress made in addressing issues referred to the DG in the public protector's report, we report as follows. One, on ensuring that measures taken and agreed to with the minister are implemented, we've commenced as a department with the redesign of the NLTIS to close gaps that may have been exploited. We've engaged with the SIU to investigate the irregularities and manipulation of the system. Implemented. We've commenced as a department with the redesign of the NLTIS to close gaps that may have been exploited. We've engaged with the SIU to investigate the irregularities and manipulation of the system. We're in the process of issuing a proclamation announcing the cut-off date for the grace period to qualify for scrapping. That's what I've said to you earlier on. And on ensuring that there is no Toyota panel van that has been converted into a minibus on our South African roads, all the identified panel vans have been admin marked on the native system, and their licenses cannot be renewed. We move on to the next slide. On the redesign of the NLTIS system, the following has been covered under the scope of work: integration of the system with the Geographical Information System (GIS). Interoperability with natives, engagement or liaise with national, provincial, and municipal stakeholders to gather the functional requirements, an interface as far as possible with provincial system, captain provinces. In this regard, there are, I think, two provinces that have their own system, Western Cape and KZN, if my recollection serves me well. A migration of data from historical systems like land transport payment system into the new OLAS, or operating license administration. As a continuation thereof, the inclusion of the new modules for National Public Transport Regulator, in the Transport Appeal Tribunal, system design alignment to user requirements specifications, user acceptance testing, that there be legitimate migration of data and system testing. What is still outstanding in so far as the redesign of the system is concerned, would be the data migration from historical system like OLAS and into LTPS into OLAS, the interoperability of the system, this is in line with the NLTA requirements, interface with the South African Receipt of Revenues tax compliance rating, home affairs, this is will be for validation of ID number and status, and SAPS insofar as criminal activity checks are required, and the full system testing and implementation. May we also add that we've sought to extend the contract of the service provider, which was ending in September, that because of COVID, it will be ending somewhere in March at no cost, Chairperson, because these are the things that they would need to do. Insofar as way forward is concerned, the minister has committed to one, engage with the technical committee in the last meeting that Chairperson and honorable members were present, meet with Toyota to lobby for their contribution in resolving the challenge, to meet with SIU to expand their mandate on the current Proclamation 37, which is meant to investigate, amongst others, innate irregularities, and then that we issue a proclamation setting a deadline for the discontinuation of use of illegally converted panel vents. We've gone through the example. Chairperson, we've come to the end of the presentation. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Advocate. Colleagues and whoever is on the platform, can we request that when you are not speaking, we keep our mics or all the gadgets muted, please? That will be appreciated. Colleagues, there is the presentation from the department. I had one comment or a question, but I will leave it to the last. Can I see by show of hands who would like to ask questions or give comments? I've noted Honorable Hunsinger. Can I note some more hands? Okay, looks like for now it's still one hand. Honorable Hunsinger, please do go ahead.
I won't go on that.
Oh, I meant lifting the hand on the system, not where you are seated. All right, I've noted the Honorable Sithole. Let me check again. Anybody else who's struggling to raise their hand on the system? I only have Honorable Hunsinger, followed by Honorable Sithole. Any other member? That's the first round. Okay, number three will be Honorable McDonald. I'll give you another chance. Anyhow, I want us to engage a bit robustly on this matter if we are to achieve anything, colleagues. So I am going to allow you to make follow-up questions should you feel like your question has not been adequately responded to. So I've noted Honorable Hunsinger, followed by Honorable Sithole, followed by Honorable McDonald. Honorable Hunsinger, please go ahead.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can I also request that the PowerPoint be removed from the screen? Since it's a bit of a distraction, I prefer to speak to faces than the PowerPoint that we've just viewed. Related to that, thank you very much, Acting DDG Advocate Mahato. And please don't feel attacked in terms of the questions.
Honorable Nsinga, okay, there we go. Thank you. I wanted it to be removed. It's removed. Go ahead. Yeah.
Thank you, Chairperson. I appreciate it. Advocate, you mentioned that the department became aware of illegally converted panel vans to taxis in 2009. However, there has been reports and there is evidence that the department knew about this as soon as 2005. If you do not have information on any of these, I'm happy not to get the answer now. And we can obviously get answers or verification in a different way as well. I'm related to that. I would also want to know why 15 years and nothing has happened in the meantime. My next question is with regards to the taxi recapitalization program, which seems to be the only solution within the scope of recommendations from the Public Protectors Report. Do you regard the 124,000 rands offered to owners of taxis as an adequate solution, given that the expense in purchasing the taxi is a lot more? Your response to that? Again, around the fact that the department, according to you, only became aware of this phenomenon from 2009, how did the department attain this knowledge? In what way was the department made aware of how did the department become aware of this in 2009, as you say? In terms of the retrofitment program, do you regard the retrofitment program as an adequate one, given the fact that there are manufacturing specifications and that there is a particular body from Department of Trade and Industry responsible for safety checks and for adequacy checks in terms of homologation process? So could you give us your impression of the retrofitment process and how this fits into the requirements around homologation and MIB specifications? The numbers that you mention on the amount of illegal taxis, we start with a 2,353 in number. Was this the number that was assessed at the time and no other assessments undertaken? Or can you give us the absolute assurance that the 2,353 in number of illegally converted taxis are the total number of illegally converted taxis on our roads as we stand now? Or is it a number that was assessed at the time and the only number that was worked with? The 436 retrofitted taxis, what is the status around them? Where are they? And has other taxis been through this retrofitment process? The next question is, did the department meet with a public protector where the taxi recapitalization program was discussed as a solution prior to the submission or release of the public protector's report? I would like to hear your comments around three conventions and agreements, and those are the Paris Agreement, the TRIPS Agreement, and the Bern Convention or Agreement. Who would you say would be the guardian of those international agreements related to patent rights and related to intellectual property rights, of which we as a country is signatory of, given the fact that we are dealing with a locally manufactured and locally converted taxi, whereas the origin country is a member of this accord, given the conventions and the agreements that I've referred to. On your slide 8, you referred to irregularities and manipulation of the system, and I assume that we are talking of the INATUS system. Was it the case that someone could, as a third party, be the seller of a panel van converted taxi, go to a traffic department, have this vehicle registered from a 3-person to a 16 or whatever capacity person vehicle, get the license and everything and deliver the vehicle without that owner ever being to the counter of a traffic office? Has this happened? Has it been investigated and did this happen? Then the last question, Chairperson, for this round, on your slide 11, Advocate Mogato, you speaking and referring to the outstanding activities, and I would want Chairperson to recommend that we get further detail as on this, because at the end of the day, I'm sure, Advocate, you would agree that this is the turning point in terms of securing the system, building the firewalls back into the system, which would protect users and commuters in the future. So, Chairperson, I would recommend that slide 11 becomes a core part of, you know, the process going forward. Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Advocate Mogato.
Thank you, Honorable Hunsinger. Honorable Sithole. An advocate, should you not pick up a question, feel free to interject and ask for clarity. Yes, Honorable Sithole, you may go ahead.
Thank you, Honorable
Will Chairperson. Will do. Thanks, Chairperson.
And thank you to Advocate Mogato for the presentation. But Chairperson, I think the presentation is not enough. Why I'm saying that is because if you see the report says they received the information about this panel van in 2009, but the information is that the information, the department received the information in 2005. So what I'm trying to check, what happened from 2005 until 2009? Because we must have that information. And the other answer that I'm trying to check, the department legalized this panel van through this scraping and of those panels. But I'm trying to check, why are they, what happened before they take a decision that they are going to scrap this panel van? What happened to the manufacturers of those panels? And how many panels have been changed to a passenger minibuses? If they give us the full information of how many, because you see these numbers are not actually the number that we're supposed to have now. And the other thing that I'm trying to check, how come
Chairperson, may I rudely interrupt? Honorable Sithole broke up the latter end of the question they were posing. If they can just repeat that question, because I think you said how many, you posed the question around what happened to the manufacturers, and I think the second one was around the numbers. Sorry, Chairperson.
Yes, what I'm trying to check is that how many of these illegally panel van have the department give them the license? Because if you check that they have a disc, how can you give the disc something that's illegal, which is not permitted? And what I'm trying to check, how much have the department have spent now and paid to this scraping of this panel van? Because I see the number. If you can just advocate, give us exactly the number, the budget that was been budgeted for those panel van, and the scraping, how many, because it shows that it come to finalization of scraping of all those panel van. And the other chapter I'm trying to check, when the department says the remedial action of the department was that this panel van must be scrapped through the taxi recapitalization program, it means if this was said by the department in 2009, but until today it is 2020. There is no finalization of those scraping of panels then. If they can give us the exactly why is that thing take so long. And then the last one, Chairperson, is that I'm trying to check, according to the to their information, the seeker, do they have a seeker of how many accidents have been caused by this panel van per province? If they have that figure. If they don't have the figure, I can be happy if you can get that figure. Because we must know now exactly what are we dealing with. And the last one, Chairperson, that I'm trying to check. If you check the provinces, especially Gauteng, they have 711. Initially, how many were there in Gauteng before this 711? In case that N 220, and Eastern Cape 169. Initially, if they do their research and their investigation, how many per province, how many actually initially of those panel vans have the provinces have? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Honorable Stolle. Honorable McDonald. The time is yours.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Advocate Mahuta. I want to add my voice to what most of the previous speakers have said. I'm very concerned that about that 436 retrofitted panel vans that were already illegally converted. Who approved the retrofitting the homologation? Was it tested by the SABS and in SIR? What was the NCAP certification afterwards? Because those panel vans are deaf. It's a coffin with wheels. And I don't understand it. Then the other thing is, what does it mean when 79 of these recapitalization is in progress? I mean, if I remember correctly, this is the same figure that they presented to us in 2019. So since then until now, they have not completed the recapitalization of those 79 taxis. What is the stumbling box? You bring the taxi, it gets scrapped, you give the money. How difficult can that be? It's not a process. Then I want to add what Honorable Stolle has said. There is many, many more taxis than those initial number that was initially in this report, the 2,353 taxis. I am telling you that if you're going to do a data mining now through the system, you will get another 1,500 taxis that have been illegally converted that might not even of the same Toyota panel vans. And I want to know the department, how many physical taxis have since the since the report was published and the four month period elapsed, how many taxis have actually been impounded, the actual number of taxis? And then, Chair, I think we need to get better information. We can't be working with figures from 2005 and 2009. The world has changed drastically since then. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable McDonald. Yes, Advocate.
Sorry, my rude interruption. Unfortunately, Honorable McDonald broke up on my end because I lost connection. I don't know whether probably is it because of the internet or bandwidth. But what
did
Honorable
you get
McDonald
from you?
Yes, I did. The first one I got around the concern around the 436 and who approved the retrofitment and that was NRCS and SABS involved and was there an NCAP certification. And then lastly, when he started off with what does it mean, and then that's when he broke up. Sorry, Chairperson.
Okay, Chair, I've got no problem
Thank
to repeat
you.
My questions. I wrote them down, Chair. But
just the last one. He says it's the last one he didn't get.
Okay, I just wanted to know on the 79, what does it mean on the in progress? What does it mean? I want to know how long does it take for an actual taxi to be the person receiving the money, because this is the same figures that they supplied to us as the portfolio committee in 2019, Chair. And then I also wanted to know how many taxis were impounded since the date of the elapse of the time given by the public protector. And then I also said that as a closing statement, that the information that we have is lacking because it's nearly 12 years old or older than 10 years, and that the world has changed since then, Chair. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you so much. I'm sure you got it now, Advocate. Before you respond, Advocate Machado, I want to say the following. My observation when you are presenting is that it appears that either you didn't do the presentation or prepare it yourself, or you prepared it long time ago and you didn't have time to go through it. I could be wrong. Now, I want you to understand that the purpose of the subcommittee is to get to the bottom of the gaps that are there, you know. So there will be a bit more rigorous interrogation of things like figures, things like facts, because we want to get to the bottom of this thing and be able to take this thing forward because it has been very long. So I want you to have that at the back of your mind, that it's not the answers that you'll give and they go away. We will be coming back on the same thing. So I want you to give you an opportunity to respond to the questions as you have received them, Advocate. The floor is yours.
Thanks, Chairperson. Indeed, on our part as a department, we are willing to comply and bring this matter to finality, Chairperson, and it would not be a skin of my nose if at all there would be a repeat of the same question or questions from the honorable members, Chairperson. That being said, I would want to say that I note my colleague, my colleagues, Mr. Manamela and Ms. Nondlandlankosi are part of this meeting. And in case there's something that I missed or they would want to respond to, may I humbly request the chairperson to grant them that indulgence. Okay. Now, starting with the questions from Mr. Hunsinger, as the chairperson to grant them that indulgence.
Okay.
Now, starting with the questions from Mr. Hunsinger. Okay. Now, starting with the questions from Mr. Hunsinger.
Instance, maximum number of passengers from 3 to 16. In scrapping, in the taxi recapitalization process where scrapping is involved, has any of these parts found their way back into the market post-scrapping? In other words, the department then follows the scrapping procedure and this taxi is removed from the system. It is now spare parts, it is not a registered vehicle anymore. Has any of these parts found their way back into the market? Then I would want to just touch on the retrofitment process and the involvement of the department in this. Did any of this retrofitment process testing involve vehicles in movement? In other words, was there any impact tests? Was there any roadworthy, road capability tests as part of the refitment process? So could you share with us the details of the refitment process? The retrofitment process. I do accept, Mr. Manemele, the limitations of the public protector in terms of mandate. And, you know, the reason for this forming of the subcommittee is out of the disappointment that no mention was made of ambulances. As you might know, that nearly every health department in the country in terms of government hospitals have panel van converted ambulances. And no mention of this was made, and also no remedial comments or action steps was made. And I see it as something that should have been mentioned in the report, most certainly, which does involve public sector and government hospitals. So I do accept that, you know, there are limitations in terms of mandate, but then in another way, but under the same heading, how then could the department and even trade and industry, NRCS, SABS, get involved in deciding what would be adequate in terms of private sector and manufacturers and engineering specifications around retrofitment. Similarly, there must be limitations in terms of what can be done. So thank you, Chairperson, if I could get reaction on that, I'll appreciate it. And thanks again, Advocate and Mr. Manemele, for having this engagement.
Thank you very much. May I check if the other colleagues are covered so that we can, after these responses, try and map a response inclusive and the next steps?
I'm covered.
Okay, thank you. Just drop your hand, Honorable McDee, please. All right. Advocate and the team. Honorable Sithole.
I didn't hear the answer on the figures of the accident that has been caused by this panel and Petrovic. The one on the chairperson that I didn't hear is that one of the of 1,226 which were identified, but 723 are still outstanding. I'm trying to check these 723 which are still outstanding from which provinces, which provinces, because we have 9 provinces. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
All right. I think Advocate did say that on the figures, like the accident figures and the last one, that they will go back and check so that they don't contradict the numbers that are there. However, they are here. If I'm misrepresenting them, they will correct me. Advocate Makgato and the team, you may assist us, maybe indicate who's going to respond to what or whichever way. At this moment, it is your time.
Okay, now thanks very much, Chairperson. And to Honorable Sithole, I think you've not misrepresented me, Chairperson. Indeed, we said we would go back and try to look at the numbers so that we provide correct information. And I'll, insofar as the follow-ups that were made by Honorable Hunsinger, which we appreciate, by the way, I'll take turns in responding them with Ntate Manamela or Ms. Nkosi, as the case may be. Let's start off. I'll start from the bottom, if you allow me, Chairperson. Look, you need to say, with regard to the scraping and the parts of the said vehicles making their way back into the market. Chairperson and honorable members, if you were to witness how the scraping process happens, and maybe we can ask for video, but then simply put, this is how they do it is, the said vehicle is compacted to something so small, Chairperson, that it fits into the back of a loading truck. So it's highly unlikely, if not impossible, that such would make its way back to the market, given how the process itself unfolds. That would be my response to that question. But then again, you can't discount what happens out there. I would want to categorically state that it's highly unlikely, if one were to see how this process unfolds, and having seen the process itself, you would agree with me, Honorable Hunsinger. And then you made reference to manipulation of the system, and you made reference specifically to that this is something that can be done by a person. Indeed, you must remember that whenever a person accesses the native system, what's required of them, Honorable Member and the Chairperson, is that there is a specific number that's allocated, or when somebody logs onto the system. and the time that that person logs on. So it's so unique that in some instances you'll find that if people share their login number or whatever term they used it, it's easy to tell that somebody did that. So it is possible that somebody can or could manipulate the native system and go as far as to, you know, having a 3-seater instance into a 9 or 16-seater capacity, honorable member. So this is more of a human element and whatever arrangements that this person might be having with the corruptor in this regard. You asked a question around the number 2353, at what date was it established? Again, I would go back to the slide and slide 4 that we did, because this followed a data filtration that we did and that led to us identifying that number. But then may I, with your permission, ask Mr. Manamela to amplify this point, Chairperson. And the first question was around the 2009 date that when the department became aware, what was the basis from the members of the, what were the concerns and what was the need for intervention? If I may, with your permission, Chairperson, ask for indulgence and request Mr. Manamela to respond to it. Thank you.
All right, Advocate. On your side, you are done?
Yes, I am, Chairperson. Thank you. Sorry.
Okay. Mr. Manamela, can you fill in those gaps, please?
Thanks, Chair. Maybe let me start on the 2,353 figures. As I have indicated before, the focus from our side was what is in the report. Now, the 2353 is what is in the public protector's report up to the time when the retrofitment was approved by the minister, which was in 2009, around 2009. So that is the figure that was identified then. I think the assumption was that anything that has been converted post the window period of retrofitment would not qualify for scrapping because it becomes illegal. I think that is the assumption, because the number that we are talking about is strictly what is in the public protector's report. And the data filtration was then done on that number to say, is it the number? Because that 2353 was also purely for Toyota, the quantum, which is in the report. So yes, the verification of the number was done through the system to check whether following the, I think they use the, can't remember whether it is the VIN number, but there's a number that they determine whether originally this vehicle was a panel van, now it's operating. They pick it up on the system using that number. Now, it then goes to, after the 400, the 430-something that were retrofitted, the number that was left was 1,996, and it only 1,200 of those were found to qualify for scrappy. Now, just to answer Honorable Member Stoller, to say the 700, why? It is because the public protector's report said the operators must bring the vehicles voluntarily. Now, it's a voluntary process. That's why I think the minister is now saying there should be a cutoff time. So those 500 were the ones that submitted their application for scrapping. I think the 700 that we are left with are the ones that decided not to submit the application for whatever reason, whether they thought that their operation license are illegal or we might just speculate. But they have not submitted. We made follow-up. We have picked them up through the TRSA to give them an opportunity. But the report says the scrapping of that vehicle would be voluntary. So once the declaration is approved, then that window period, if people don't submit their vehicle voluntarily and the window period is closed, then those vehicles now forfeit the scrapping process, they forfeit to be paid the scrapping allowance, but those vehicles will be impounded because they can't renew their licenses, they can't go back on the roads. I think those are the issues. In terms of the 2009 and 2005, Jefferson, we might have to go back to the report, because even in the report, we argued from the department side to say, was it really 2005? Because the report, when initially the complainant went to the public protector, was that this exercise started even beyond before 2005, but a Toyota Quantum came into the market in 2005. So that's where we were saying, yes, it might be around 2005, but because it only got into the market, the 15-seater, in 2005. The reason why the complaint came from the taxi industry, we'll have just to double check, but the issue was around I think issues of safety. Some of them were saying there was some safety. Let me not go into the details. We'll just have to double check in terms of what was the rationale for them to come and complain to the department. But it was more around, when you read the report, around the issue of safety. I think those are the few that I wanted to add, Shepard.
Thank you, Mr. Manamela. And Sis Nontandla. Sis Nontandla goes.
Yeah, Chairperson, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. We wanted to hear your voice, you know.
These men
are sidelining you from the department. Is there anything you want to add on what has been said?
Chairperson, they've said everything. The only thing I can say is just to confirm what Advocate Makato said with regards to slide number 11 of the outstanding activities of the NLTIS project, that we are indeed working very hard to ensure that those outstanding activities, we complete them so that we are able to implement the system come the time of the end of the contract. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I'm very, very protective to men sidelining women. Thank you so much, Ms. Nontlanta. Advocate, you will not be defended by me. colleagues, thank you. Thank you very, very much. I think I want to make the following observations, having listened to everybody. Well, one, a couple of questions might not have really been answered, but I think the honorable colleagues have decided to let those ones go because they are really not the deal breakers. I think one thing that is coming out very clearly, Advocate and the team, the numbers are not adding up at all. these numbers, the colleagues have said so, and it is true that these numbers are the ones that were submitted by the DG at the last interaction we had a couple of months back, and the numbers seem to be the same. In fact, there is a lot. So the first task for you is that we need you to go back and relook at all these numbers, taking into consideration the questions that have been asked. Key to the questions is the numbers that you are giving, whether it's 2363 or whatever the number is it at the time that you check the numbers or is it up to date? Very important to us is to understand whether, well, we know there is an increase. So we want to know the real numbers in all the categories that you have stipulated there. That is the first thing that is very, very important. The one question that was asked, not responded to, and I would like it to be responded to when you update the numbers in writing, is how many vehicles have been impounded? Because every time you guys are presenting, if this doesn't happen, we will impound vehicles. How far or how many has been impounded? And if that could be a provincial breakdown, that could be totally appreciated. The issue of proclamation is a very interesting one. I think we do welcome it. One thing I didn't hear is to exactly when is it intended to be signed or brought into effect. That I will comment on a little bit. Now, the slide, I think it's number 11 that Honorable Hunsinger and I think Sis Nontlanhla now just mentioned about the way forward, and I think it says way forward. One thing that I would like to see there, and I'm sure the members would agree with me, is time frames. You say you're going to do this, but there are no time frames. It would be nice if we could have time frames that are put there. Obviously, the other question, but I don't think it will change much, that was asked, that was not responded to, is how did the department come away? Whenever it came away, whether it was 2005 or 2009. So it's something that was not really responded to, as it were. Now, as they always say, maybe you have put in the RTMC under the bus, but we'll be meeting them next week on the e-native manipulation issue. So, In summing up, my observation and is that I don't get a sense that the department was alarmed or is shocked in any way of this conversion. I think the department is confining itself to what the public protector has said should be remedied, and therefore making it a tick box exercise. If I'm wrong, I'm sure I could be corrected at another time. So that really concerns me. And secondly, I don't get the sense that there's an urgency to resolve these matters. But we are here to make sure that we will push until we see these matters resolved in the public protector's report and things that we believe have been affected, as Honorable Hunsinger highlighted, example of ambulances and so forth. So on the proclamation, it would be nice, it would be useful for us to know, because I think record says it, that many things that you guys have asked the taxi industry to do, most of them they will not do. Now, it would be nice to know, as you respond to us, what is your enforcement plan? Once you say the taxi must be brought voluntarily, after 4 months, they don't bring it, you can't impound it, what is the plan to enforce that? so that we can be able to see exactly what's happening there. So in thanking you, I want to once more reiterate that we would like through the secretariat, one, to have the copy of the presentation you presented now for the members to have a record. Two, that you kindly go back and revisit the numbers. I don't want to repeat the intricacies thereof. I'm sure you have listened and taken the notes. Also include the update. The SIU feedback was very, very scanty in what you were reporting back on the SIU. We would like to get updated information there and also to get an enforcement plan as it relates to the proclamation that you have given to us that the minister is planning to present. That is what I would like to summarize as colleagues, but also to give my colleagues an opportunity if there's something pertinent you feel I might have missed that you'd like us to get feedback on. Remember that this information is forming the basis as we meet other stakeholders going forward. Is there anything that you think is critical to us executing the job that we've been tasked to do? I'm inviting my honorable colleagues if they want to add on anything of what I've said.
Chief,
am I?
Who was that? Honorable McD.
Yes, Chair. I'm sorry, I didn't raise my hand. Apologies.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to firstly thank you for your very on point summary of the proceedings of today. You were on the spot. You were proper. Your summing up of the process was perfect. I think that in light of what you have said, the department has said we must schedule a re-meeting with the department as soon as possible, but also invite the minister and the DG so that all these gaps that you have mentioned, Chair, that we can round up these gaps and close them so that we have the actual figures and the actual truth so that we can work, because it's no use working with something that we already find is a problem, Jay. And then as soon as possible, have the meeting of the public to get her insights on this, because we only read from a report. I'm sure that she's got better knowledge, because sometimes when you put something onto paper, you lose the context of it, Jay. That's my submission, Jay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable McGee. Honorable Sithole, anything from your side?
I'm fine.
Thank you, Panagitri. Honorable Hunsinger, anything from your side?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think you summarized all the outstanding matters very adequately. And Chairperson, indeed, I think we have more direction following the responses by the department. And again, I want to thank Ms. Nkosi. I hope you note that I mentioned her first. And then Advocate Mahatu and also Mr. Manamela. It's important, Chairperson, that we form an alliance with the department in terms of the gaps that have been identified. It should be very clear to us that the parameters are set in terms of the content of the report, but it is clear that the problem is bigger than the content of the report. So I therefore want to suggest that, you know, we meet with the department regularly to then verify and go along with them step by step, but it's also important for them to realize our role in terms of oversight and in terms of representing you know, the users of not just quantum vehicle taxis, because the scope of this investigation is wider and not just limited as in the case of the public protector. So thank you, Chairperson, and I assume that there would be opportunity for us as a subcommittee to then also engage following this engagement. Thank you, Chairperson.
All right. Thank you. I was kicked to touch, but I've rebounced in the field. Thank you very much for getting me back. You had wrapped up, Honorable Nsing, I'm sure. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much, colleagues. Advocate Makato and the team, thank you very much. I think importantly is what Honorable Hunsinger said, is that we are on one side, we are on one team. We want to get to the bottom of this and be able to find solutions. Because at the end of it all, it shouldn't be about ticking the boxes of saying we have responded to this and that. Yes, that is important, but it is about saving lives and assisting those who might have lost money through unscrupulous financiers and unscrupulous dealers who might have cost them a lot of money. So that is, at the end of the day, our interest, to the best of our ability, to leave no stone unturned, to understand this and make proper recommendations of what needs to happen. So with that, I want to thank you, Advocate Makato, and the team. If you want to leave, you are more than welcome to do so as we wrap up the other matters of the committee. And if I may invite Ms. Carolse at this point, you did indicate by email that there are some slight changes on the first and the second as it relates to the National Assembly program. I don't know, and it might affect our times and so forth. If I would invite you, please, to update the committee on that or anything else that I might not have mentioned.
Yes, Mr. Mangu, when the committee met the last time, there were no plenaries planned for the 1st and the 2nd of December, so obviously the subcommittee could then meet for longer periods, but now there's a sitting on the 1st, the Tuesday, and there's a sitting on the 2nd. So there is a slight time change in terms of the duration of the meetings. On the Tuesday, the House will sit at 2. And I think the second at 3. So I will keep members abreast of any other changes that might happen in terms of the program. So the subcommittee can still meet. It will just mean the subcommittee can't sit for 3 hours or 2.5 hours. It might mean an hour and a half up to 2 hours max based on the time that the House is going to start. And it might affect how many agenda items can be covered in the meeting, especially on the Tuesday, the 1st of December.
All right. Thank you very much. I think that is straightforward, colleagues. We will see how it squeezes. I would also like to invite colleagues to look at the program and the brief outline, which is on our program for next week, as it relates to our meeting with the RTMC. And the reason I'm saying so is, as we reflect on what we received today from the department, the intention really is not for the subcommittee to become another portfolio committee where we get the same and the same old. We want to get the meat and get to where we want to get to. So if there are any suggestions, again, I want to invite us that even before meetings, let's interact and make suggestions so that any interaction we have, whether it's an hour 30 minutes, it's impactful, it gives us the results that we want. But overall, I think we had a good start. Again, the team has prepared a lot of information, which we have. I want to encourage us again to go through it so that it helps us to zoom into the things, to ask the right questions as it relates to frameworks that we have been given as we had requested the last week or the last time we met. And for that, we are very grateful to everyone who made it possible that we have the information. With that, unless there is something very, very burning, Honorable Hunsinger, is your hand up?
Chair, we have to do minutes as well. Chair, sorry for the interruption.
Oh, there are minutes. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. That's better. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, I did want to make a suggestion, if I may.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Chairperson, as I see it, something that would be of great benefit to the subcommittee, we have indeed received substantive information on homologation and MID, which is important from manufacturer's specifications point of view and of legal changes to those manufacturer specifications in terms of engineering standard and what is commonly known as the envelope, which are engineering specifications. What we heard today was a particular intervention by the department referring to retrofitment. And I would suggest, Chairperson, that as background, we ask the department to supply us with written information on what particular and what specifically this retrofitment involves, because the homologation documentation and technical specs around that, MIB, as well as retrofitment, would provide members of the committee with particular technical knowledge, which would be important going forward. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Hunsinger. And I think the point is well taken. Can we go to the minutes, which I'm trying to get to? I'm trying to maneuver around here. You know, when you are sitting and listening to somebody else share, it's easy to just maneuver around. So now I'm trying to get to the minutes. Colleagues, did you receive the minutes?
Yes, I did receive the minutes, Chair. From the minutes that I have received, I would propose that the minutes be adopted, Chair.
Thank you very much. Is there a seconder for that?
Chairperson, indeed, I second.
Thank you very much for that.
Mr. Thank you one issue, yes, and the program, and the program are you adopting it as well as a work as a program in progress?
Thank you, Ms. Carroll, sir. I do think that we are accepting and adopting the program as a living document, as work in progress. As you rightfully said, the first and the second, there might also be further changes, but as a framework within which we are working, it's acceptable for us to work with it. Colleagues, any objection?
Zero objection, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is that okay, Ms. Carrothen?
That's okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Anything else I've left? None. Thank you very much, colleagues. The meeting stands adjourned.
Long live the Chair. Long live.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, colleagues.
Thank you, Chris.